I remember being petrified of getting on a plane to Singapore because I was serving a client who technically I knew I could serve, but I wasn't sure how I was actually going to get there. And so how many times has that happened to you, that because of that uncertainty and being uncomfortable, you held yourself back from maybe being successful? So my conversation with Julian Roberts is exactly about that. Knowing that you can serve people, but how you're going to get there is where you're uncomfortable. So let's listen to Julian's thoughts on this.
I don't know how I'm going to help exactly this particular client's goal or outcome they're after. I don't know exactly the process or some of the tools I may use along the way. I will use my inner wisdom as I go. And it's taken me a while to get to that place because I'm fairly much like things fairly sorted and in a good place. And I got to know broadly the outcomes. 90% is going to happen. Now I go in and I go, not blasé, I go in with everything, but I go, I'm just going to go where the subconscious is going, go where the inner wisdom will take me. And actually, I'm daily living with this uncomfortableness of I'm not entirely sure, and we get there.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO Podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the drop-in CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals.
Hello, I am Deb Coviello, founder of Illumination Partners, and I want to thank you for joining me on another episode of the Drop-In CEO Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe so we can continue to bring you great programming. And I'd also like to make you this offer. I am the CEO's guide to elevate your business and team through rapid change and bring you peace of mind. For more information about my consulting services, one-on-one coaching, or leadership academy, please contact me at dropinceo.com and let's continue the conversation. And now I am honored to share the mic with my fantastic guest, Julian Roberts. Julian is an executive and leadership coach and host of the Helping Organizations Thrive podcast. And after 20 years of success in the business world, he realized he loves working with people and watching them achieve what they can't yet see, but deep down really want. I also find Julian is highly intelligent as a thought leader, and he has also taken me down a path during a recent interview on his podcast. And it's because of who he is and the great conversation, I wanted to go deeper into his story and have a conversation. So Julian, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Deborah. It's really great to be on here. I love speaking with you. Love having a conversation. I know we've conversed many times. So yes, it is a pleasure.
All right. So let's have fun with this. Bring this to life. I would love for you to share with our listeners more about yourself personally, your business journey, and the work that you're doing now.
Okay. My business journey. I'm that wonderful title, executive leadership coach, which sounds very wooden, doesn't it, really? So I'll bring that to a bit of life of how I got there, because I didn't start off doing that. I started life wanting to be a forensic scientist, believe it or not. Ended up doing lots of pathology degrees and all sorts of things. But then I got into the world of business because I found science wasn't for me at the time. And I got a very good sort of successful career in business within the sales and commercial world, and loved it and enjoyed it. There was a pivotal moment probably about 4 or 5 years ago. My wife and I were pursuing fostering as part of our sort of life plan. And also I was realizing that although I enjoyed selling and being successful in the commercial world, I got more of a kick out of actually seeing an individual change of behavior from my coaching as a leader and seeing them sort of flourish as opposed to just winning a client or winning a sale. And so we set out to then combine that and look at the whole fact that fostering, I wanted to create some sort of flexibility. And so I then decided to then set up my own sort of business consultancy. Could then pursue the whole fostering as well, be more flexible, more available on hand, but also then start to pursue the whole aspect of unlocking people's potential, which is what I love and desire. In fact, it is my purpose, it's my why. Then I trained as a coach, qualified as an executive coach, and that has got me to today in terms of what I'm doing and what I enjoy and what gives me a real buzz and what gets me out of bed in the morning and drives me to do all the contents, all the conversations I have. So yeah, that's what got me today in terms of my backstory.
You know, well, the reason why I love podcasting, I always have a plan, but you know what? You just spawned a question that I'm going to try on you. So you talk about helping other people find their potential, their why, their purpose. And obviously you came to a point in your career where you said, okay, I'd like to do this full time so I can have the flexibility and the life that I want. But I'm curious about yourself. Did you at one point have a moment, have an experience where all of a sudden you found how to unlock your potential? I mean, you obviously have had a successful career in various businesses, but what was that moment for you to say, I have this potential, I have this gift, I'm able to do this with others?
I guess it was, I say, four years ago, I was having quite a difficult scenario in terms of within my sort of role in a business. And I guess when you're getting challenged and finding a place where you're not thriving or you're not finding this doesn't suit you, the culture and everything else, I started to question, you start to question yourself and you think, am I very good at this? What's wrong with me? And it was a state where I was not in a very good place. But what it did, it drove me to really understand what I like and what I enjoy. Not that what I was doing was, I wasn't successful. It just wasn't resonating at that moment. So I started to explore that. And it was more of a, for me, I suppose, a start of a journey that got me to where I am today about unlocking people's potential. But it was a reflecting on the, you know, the last 20 years of working in the commercial world and start to think what I enjoyed, where did I thrive the most? What was the culture? What was the organization? What was the people? Was it the product I was selling? And it was starting to be that, you know, the culture, it was more of a, you know, empowering culture. It was a culture that sort of valued people and rather than being hierarchical and centralized. And then I started to realize actually when I got a buzz out of thing, it was seeing somebody who wasn't being successful by me asking some questions and just opening things up a little bit, they became more successful. And actually that was more liberating actually than being successful. And obviously because they're part of my team, that success obviously reflecting the team, but it was that what a buzz. And I started to realize that is what I enjoy, but also that's what I'm good at as well. And I started to then understand that actually I loved sort of human behavior and watching people and looking for those little idiosyncrasies of body language, eye contact, mood, all that sort of thing. I just had an innate interest in it. And I then started to explore that. And obviously through my coaching qualification, I started to obviously hone those sort of skills, mm-hmm. listening, observing, and then going with those sort of subconscious sort of cues you're getting. And then I started to then, how can then I even further unlock people? So that was where I started to, that journey really. So it wasn't, at that point, I had that light bulb moment of, da-da, I know I'm an unlocking potential type person. Actually, it was the start of that. And it was only through my coaching, actually, because obviously during the coaching sort of qualifications, you do a lot of reflecting. Obviously, you're coaching each other, so you have all that. And so you actually, your journey really does start to unfold. And hence why I love coaching, because that's what it does for people. It transforms people. It gives clarity and liberates people. And that's why I do it as well. So, yeah. So
that's really the reason why I think I gravitate towards those conversations, because, you know, it's interesting. You talk about you had arrived at a place where you were questioning yourself, doubting yourself, things didn't resonate. And I share with this on my other podcast. I loved my last job being the head of quality for number one flavors company, but it got to a point where you doubt yourself, you start losing your confidence. And it is one of those moments where, am I fit for this job anymore? And I think perhaps we as leaders recognize that it was time for a change, and that's okay. It wasn't a failure. It wasn't that we weren't performing, but our heart, our minds were not in it. But I'd like to take this in a direction because it's also part of your podcast. And I'm curious about your selection of words. You talk about the name of your podcast is Helping Organizations to Thrive. And I'm curious about why you pick the word thrive versus other words like survive or succeed. What is the difference about thriving?
What is the difference between thriving and stuff? Well, again, the journey of my podcasts, there's always a journey, isn't there, in life? And that's what I always want to recommend to people. Life is a journey. You know, enjoy it, enjoy what you're doing and learn along the way. But that podcast was born out of, you know, the last 6-7 months, it's been a strange old time for everybody. Through it, the last 12 months, I've started to realize I'm actually quite insightful in understanding how to become resilient as an individual, you know, building my business, also identifying it in other individuals and therefore organizations. And so I've started that over the last 12 months. Obviously, COVID came along, and we know resilience is even more of a skill that we need because you need to be incredibly resilient with consistent uncertainty. And so I was doing lots of, you know, helping people to thrive, helping people to build resilience. I was doing masterclasses. I was doing one-on-one. I was doing workshops, various things. And that's all great. And I enjoyed that. And I just felt I wanted to just broaden out that discussion and that insight and use a podcast as a platform, just like yourself, and invite experts into that field of arena of leadership, resilience, and thriving. And so that's where the podcast came out. Why I chose Thrive is that I'm not all about surviving. I'm all about thriving. And there's a difference of just getting by. It's switching from a surviving mindset to a thrive mindset. And thriving is mindset driven. Thriving is growing your bottom line as well, your financials, it's growing your people. It's just creating an environment where creativity flows, innovation flows, everything flows. It's not just, it's bigger than, I guess, in sense of resilience, or resilience is bigger than just what people think it might be. And Thrive to me is just sums up what I'm about, what I want to do and what my passion is, you know, whether that's my, you know, 12-year-old, foster daughter and helping her not only just unlock her potential of who she was despite of her neglect, but to try and create a thriving environment or a thriving mindset for her, that since she goes away when she leaves us when she's 18 or whatever, I hope she keeps in contact, but she goes away thriving under her own will rather than me having to be there. And it's that sort of place, or what I try to do with organizations, to create an environment that individuals thrive, but not just in the place they're in, but outside of that, whether that's personally or when they leave an organization. And so there's a longevity to it. There's a sustainability to it as well. So yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. No, but that's the key point. So, you know, I look at individuals, I look at organizations. We may or may not be performing at a desired level. So we send people out for training. If we're lucky, maybe our manager will ask us, how did we do? Did we develop that new technical skill or essential skill? But there's so much value in the work that you do and that I do is just staying the course with those individuals, give them the skills to set the foundation for the future. They shouldn't need a coach or mentor forever, but the true reward is building that sustainable model to thrive for now and in the future. So I love that you brought up that point. But I am curious. So you say you work with teams and individuals. I'm curious, your website, you talk about working with senior leaders and emerging leaders. And I'm wondering, the challenges that they have to achieve a state of thriving, are they the same or different? I'm curious.
I think there's a senior leaders in a context with Dean themselves. And it goes back to, I think, a post I did about how they have this mindset of wanting to succeed all the time or be in a place where they feel it's all about success and, you know, having that. And I talk about it where I talk about how it's okay to fail. And that feels a bit like counterintuitive what I've just said about thriving, but actually being okay to fail creates a sense of willing to expand and innovate and to go beyond the limits and really drive things. And I think in some ways, thriving is both for both merger leaders or leaders. It's just the context they're in, and in terms of who they are with. You know, I think you can't create a thriving team unless you are in a thriving mindset yourself as a leader. And it goes back to leaders need to be leading by example. They need to demonstrate vulnerability. They need to demonstrate a sense of openness and approachability, because you can't go beyond where people are going beyond you, basically. So if you're not thriving, your team won't thrive. Even though they might try and thrive and do the right thing, the headroom will just be sort of squashed because of your mindset, because of your how you operate.
No, and that's interesting, because it sounds like really it just depends on where they're at. You know, I can work with senior leaders, but I really love working with emerging leaders. They're tremendously talented. They're hired. They think they're going to be superstars. And sometimes those leaders get lost. They lose their confidence because they don't have the right support. So I think that they're intertwined. If you can work with the senior leaders, that they can model the right behavior, that they have the courage to succeed or fail, share openly, be vulnerable with those emerging leaders, they give something for those emerging leaders to also look up to while they develop their own resiliency and thriving behavior. So I was just curious about that. Are they the same kind of people or different? Because they both, you know, there are different places in the spectrum. So you, I just got a question. You have done a lot of video. I love your video. You have done a lot in the confines of your home, et cetera. But I also noticed recently you're doing a lot of video out in the open, out in nature. And I'm curious about why the change, or why do you do that? Because I do absolutely notice a different persona that comes through when you're out in nature.
Interesting, because I started in nature when I started videos 18 months ago. I used to do a lot of videos in nature. And the reason is I love being out in nature. I do trail running, I do hiking. And, you know, as part from a place that it's just amazing to be in sort of trees or in moorland or whatever it may be, physically, it sort of exercises you. It's just really good for me in terms of my reflections. I reflect in the woods. I can process the whole week, the day. If I'm making big decisions, I will go off in that sense, and it'll make me think clearly. And there's some known facts, you know, being in woods, it lowers your cortisol levels, and therefore helps reduce stress, anxiety, which obviously is really important. I think it's a fact of hugging a tree is a way of actually reducing your cortisol levels. And so that's the reason is I love it. In terms of my videos, I say when I started 18 months ago, I think I've bizarrely got over 100 odd videos now on my website, which is just
fantastic. Yeah.
And it's just where I spark a bit more. And perhaps it's interesting you see a different persona, because it's probably a little bit more in my natural environment. And that's what I enjoy. And perhaps why I come across a little bit more slightly different, because it's more natural, I guess, than in a home when I'm sort of slightly more fixed or rigid or everything else. But yes, no, I love being out in nature, and I always recommend anybody to get out in nature and to be more mindful, because it's a time to do that. And just whether it's a walk, run, whatever it may be, just get out there. Yeah.
You know, I hope, you know, when we do with these podcasts, and we try not to date what we're going through, but the truth of the matter is we're going through COVID. People are locked up in their homes. And I think there's really great insight. You know, we're on these calls, we're meeting with people, not in person, but I think if we can either break up the day, maybe stand while you're doing the interview, if it gives you more energy, possibly think about taking a call from out in nature, because if nothing else, it changes the energy, puts you in a better mindset, a place to create. I think definitely changing it up a little bit will help us maintain our sanity during this time.
And all my ideas have come from my walks in nature, whether that's, you know, formulating, you know, what my purpose is came out of nature, whether that's formulating what I was going to do in my podcast, formulating what I was going to do when COVID start, how I'm going to help organizations. That all came out of walks. I came back and I scribbled it all down. And I was ready to, it just gave me such clarity. And again, it's what works for you. And then it works for me. And that's the important thing, is finding something where you can really reflect in a real way. And I always talk to my clients and say, you know, find a place where you can reflect. Sometimes you're just sitting somewhere or lying on a bed, it doesn't matter where it is, where you have time to process and be mindful and allow your brain just to sort things out and get some real clarity on what next, as opposed to being all jumbled and frazzled and stressed and everything else. But yeah, that's important.
So before we jumped on here, I told you I would poke around in all of your content. If you haven't checked out Julian, he creates so much content. Make sure you check out his website. But he's got video. He's got masterclass. He also tweets. And one of his tweets from October 15th, and I think you also did a video on this. I really want you to go into this because you were in a really deep, profound place. And it was about, are you prepared to fail? Are you courageous? Are you comfortable with not knowing? And you also quoted from Theodore Roosevelt. I was wondering if you could go deeper in this because I think it's so important for people to understand about being courageous and being comfortable with not knowing.
Yeah, that post came out of, I suppose, lots of thinking over this last 5-6 months, really. And it's been around in my head, and I've been sort of using that sort of form with clients. Because I noticed when people, back in the early days of COVID starting, I felt a lot of people had rabbit caught in headlights. A lot of leaders just were absolutely shocked, didn't know what to do, panicked, completely understandable situations. And I remember saying to some leaders and saying, it's okay to not know. And for some leaders, that was incredibly releasing because they felt this sense of, I'm a leader, whether of an organization or a business or a team, I need to know. And I kept saying to them, actually, you don't need to know. It's okay because you don't know. So don't try and pretend to know because that's even worse because then people know you're trying to wing it. Doesn't mean you know, don't do anything. I'm not saying you don't be visible and engage, all that sort of stuff. But I said, it's okay not to know. And it comes from the premise of it's okay to have a mindset if you're trying to be courageous. If you're trying to be courageous, you're trying to push the boundaries. You're going to try and to create that innovation or that next step change. You've got to be comfortable with the not knowing because, you know, if you're Elon Musk and trying to get to the Mars, there's some unknowns up there. As much as they may do satellites going up there and unmanned missions, if when they do their first manned mission, if ever, ever happens, there's unknowns. And so you've got to go with a sense of, actually, this could fail. And courageous leadership for me is that it comes from Brené Brown, where you are willing to step up, get out of the audience, get out of the sort of sitting down and step up and go into the arena, willing to, you know, have a go, innovate, take the lead, but it may fail, it may go wrong, it may not be the outcome that everybody is expecting, but you are willing to step there, not because you knew you were going to get a win here, but actually you weren't knowing. And it's just being uncomfortable with not knowing. And it's a really weird thing because it is uncomfortable. By the fact that you're uncomfortable because you don't, I don't know. I don't, you know, I've learned, you know, in all the time, you know, working in a sales organization and going to customers, you know, I had to have an objective goal, what I was going to try and achieve. I knew exactly what I was going to do and all the tactics I was going to do. And, you know, if we got a win, brilliant. And it was pretty, you know, hard going, everything else. I go into a client's and a coaching context. It doesn't mean I don't know, but what it is, I don't know how I'm going to help exactly this particular client's goal or outcome they're after. I don't know exactly the process or some of the tools I may use along the way. I will use my inner wisdom as I go. And it's taken me a while to get to that place because I'm fairly much like things fairly sorted and in a good place. And I got to know broadly the outcomes, 90% is going to happen. Now I go in and I go, not blasé, I go in with everything, but I go, I'm just going to go where the subconscious is going, go where the inner wisdom will take me. And actually, I'm daily living with this uncomfortableness of I'm not entirely sure. And we get there. We get on that place that would unlock some potential, that will give clarity, that will knock down some limits, whatever it is. Along the way, I go, and we need to do, you know, an NLP technique here or whatever it is, or we need to do this. And so I live and breathe this not knowing, you know, launching a podcast. I didn't know what was going to happen with it. You know, I didn't launch with, I'm going to get success. I don't know. And I don't, whatever success is with the podcast, who knows? I launched masterclasses. I put it out there and I stepped out with the potential that they could be a failure and not work. And in some cases they were, but that's fine.
Yeah. I love what you say about this. If I could just pause in the flow here, because I actually found the nugget that I'm going to probably pull forward in this podcast about just being completely uncomfortable with listeners. Could just pause as you continue to listen with us. Is there something you've been meaning to do, but because you didn't know how to do it, you weren't able to be courageous? I want you to pause and think about what is that one thing you've been meaning to do. Write it down. Don't worry about how you're doing it. Believe in it and take a step forward each day towards that thing. I think that's one of the greatest gems out of the conversation that we've had here. I want to just go a little bit deeper into a particular client that you've had, and it was a testimonial from Faith, who said, she had this to say, that Julian changed my life. He led me through a coaching session that impacted my life significantly and transformed how I approach a difficult situation, and I'm so grateful. So I just wonder if you could just paint a little bit of that for us so we understand the work that you do for others.
Yeah. So this was a coaching client, and she had a conflict with her boss. And surprisingly, I end up doing a lot of help with conflicts. There's a lot of conflicts out there with people, and she was, and she, from her perspective, she tried every which way to try and resolve it, and she had good intentions. Highly motivated, but just wasn't being able to crack it, and it was becoming quite frustrating and quite debilitating for her. And so I did a technique with her, and this was done, I did it online actually. We did it on a Zoom, which is even more challenging sometimes. It was an NLP technique called perceptual positioning, where in essence you get people to get in the perspective of different points of view. And it's a very enlightening technique, and I use it a lot, and it's very powerful actually. Me talking about it won't do it justice until you actually do it yourself, where effectively I took her from her position. So she would be herself, and we talk about that and what that means and what she could see, what she could hear, what she could feel, and trying to get perspectives, because as bodies and individuals, we take on far more than we realize. We sensory take in loads of stuff, and our body, our mind chooses to filter because it's too overwhelming. There's a little thing in your brain called a reticular activating system. It just filters away. And so, but not everything's lost. Some of it's still there. And so you take from her, and what I did, I then she physically moves and goes into the position where her boss would be sitting. And then takes on almost the persona of a boss, how she would sit, feel, talk, and everything else. And then I say, how would you think? What do you feel? What do you see? And she starts to create that different perspective. And she's looking at herself now. So she's almost coming out of her body into a, sounds very weird, but it's not. And then the other perspective, then she stands up, and then she's got a perspective of like a fly on the wall. So she's a fly on the wall, and she's looking down on herself, and she's looking down on a boss. And I ask the fly, and I talk in that language, literally, you know, what do you see? What do you think? What do you feel? And then I say, what advice would you give herself? I said, what? And you'd be surprised how much comes out. And then I also, sometimes it depends on the level, I take it to another perspective where I almost go, well, it's a drone or a satellite view. So you're above the fly, you're above the two individuals, and I say, what do you see in that scene? What do you think? What do you feel? What advice would you give to the fly to give to yourself? And it just unlocks so much. And because I'm not there, obviously, and she's then getting all this different perspective, which she had before really, but wasn't obviously processing it. And then by the time she gets back to her own position, I then say, well, you've had advice from your fly or fly on the wall, whatever. What are you going to do? And she then came up with a 2-3 plan of how she's going to deal.
Wow.
And she did. And so I didn't give her any advice on conflict management. I didn't give her anything at all. It was all from her perspectives that she was enlightened, got a view from her boss, a view from what other people might be seeing, and then even bigger view. And that those insights created the nuggets. And it was took about 30, 40 minutes. And it did blow her away, actually. I was quite surprised at the response. You just like, wow. And then she just went away, energized. I know what to do this, how to sort this out. And it resolved her conflict with her boss.
So that's exactly what you do. You unlock their potential. And that's the beautiful work that you do. I just love that. I mean, if I could even give some advice to our listeners, if you are having a challenging situation, think about your perspective and acknowledge it. Acknowledge the perspective of others and then maybe a third party, because you never know, you may be able to see things that you're not able to see right now. So beautiful, beautiful work. I know people are going to want to connect with you, but as we bring this to a close, is there one or a couple pieces of advice or something that listeners could action on or even think about as they try to thrive and unlock their potential?
I guess for me, there's sort of three things I would tell people, and I talk about it a lot, and it gets quite boring sometimes in my context, very similar. Because it's consistency. That's the key.
Right.
it's to know your purpose. It's to know your purpose, your why. And the reason why is that never changes despite your circumstance, never changes because of your resource, never changes because of other people. It stays the same. The how and the timing of things may have changed, particularly in this current climate. You know, my purpose of unlocking the potential of 100,000 leaders has not changed. How I'm going about it is very different. You know, I've launched a podcast that was not in the plan this year, doing lots of more online than ever before wasn't in the plan, but my purpose still remains the same. And so that's really important. And then I guess for me, it's then making sure, you know, within this is to be ourselves. And once you find your purpose, then you can sort of be yourself a bit more and be comfortable with yourself a bit more. And then I've learned, you know, hence why I'm doing a master's now in psychology, is to invest in yourself, in learning. And whether that's a degree type of thing, whether that's a course, whether that's coaching, you know, reading, podcasts, there's a whole host of ways of, you know, become a learner, a continual learner. I turned 50 this year, and I've probably got more energy than I had 30 years ago. More passion about learning, more passion about investing in myself than ever before. And I would say, you know, continue. And it just by learning a new skill, a new language or hobby, whatever it may be, creates a thriving mindset, creates a thriving sort of way of doing things. So those will be my sort of 2-3 things.
All right. That's absolutely fantastic. I love the work that you do. Being able to unlock potentials, leaving people in a better place because you were there. I with the drop-in CEO. I love it. If people wanted to reach out to you, and again, I'm wowed by some of the work that you do, how can people connect with you?
Thanks, Deborah. Yeah, the best way is LinkedIn. You can't really get away from it. LinkedIn is where I tend to sort of hone myself at the moment. I am on other social medias, but we start with LinkedIn or go to my website, which is julianrobertsconsulting.com.
All right, beautiful. And LinkedIn is a great sandbox. That's how Julian and I met, and we've been able to bring a fantastic conversation to you. So, Julian, thank you so much. You've been a fantastic guest.
Oh, Bruno, I've really thoroughly enjoyed it, Deborah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.